I appreciate the questions that come into the box that we have in the back. And I'm starting to wonder, whenever I look at a question like this, is this now becoming a stump the preacher exercise? And whenever I first read this particular question, why did God make so many planets if all we need is the earth? And there's a second part that's not a question, but it's a statement, but actually it's a question, I believe. My first thought was, go ask your parents. And then I realized I better reserve that one in case there's another question that comes up. And I think you know what I'm talking about. And then the second way that I thought about answering this is that because God wanted to. And that's usually the standard answer that we give when we really don't want to consider something and so forth. And I said, this is something that I need to see if there's something in the Bible that really addresses this. And I believe that we can answer really every question that comes to the mind of man from Scripture. I believe there's answers to this. And I really do appreciate the question that came out because it pressed me. It pressed me into study to think about how to answer this. And then the second part of that is some planets even have little oxygen. That's a statement, but really I believe it's a question. And we'll see how that ties in. I really think that it has to do with, is there life on other planets? Are we the only ones that's in the universe? And whether that was meant that way or not, that's the way that I'm going to address it. Because that's the way that I took it. You know, we go back and we look at Scripture. And answering questions asked of Christians, we always go to Scripture first when there are clear answers. And the question asked, who made the world? Well, that's a clear answer that's given to us in Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and verse 1. It's very clear. And even in connection with this, there are biblical uses of evidence that is presented to us by which we can understand and give an answer, such as who created the worlds and the universe and so forth, just by the evidences that are even contained within Scripture. And it says there in the 19th chapter and verse 1 beginning, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's the evidence. When we look out, we see that which is physical. We see the stars, we see the moon, we see all the different aspects that really are involved in nature, and we understand from that, by that evidence, that there is a creator. But then also there are extra-biblical evidences. We had a study, of course, in the last quarter concerning atheism, and this was one of the topics about where did we come from, how did this universe get here, and so forth, and even the laws of thermodynamics speak to the evidence of a creator, of a God. And so we look at it from that standpoint and remember that the Bible is not a science or an astronomy book, but the science and the astronomy that is mentioned in the Bible is accurate. Same thing with history, human history. And so there are answers, I believe, to this question that has been put before us. Actually, the two questions, as I'm going to present it, that's been put before us. Are the other planets needed? If we have the Earth and we live on the Earth, are the other planets needed? And we can go back and we can look, first of all, look at answers from science. And science says there's a need for other planets for our orbital stability, and not to have instability. Gravitational interactions between planets help stabilize each other's orbits. Without other planets, Earth orbit would become chaotic, potentially leading to it being flung out into the solar system or pulled closer to the sun. And I thought about how to use an example in connection with that. Have you ever passed a semi-truck? And have you noticed that wherever you get up close to it, you're somewhat drug along, and wherever you start to go around it, you're pushed. And then you break out of that vacuum, so to speak, that has created that drafting that you've been involved in. Wherever you get around it, then you break free of that. I said, you know, that's somewhat of an analogy in connection with the other planets and what science says. That because of the orbital nature of all the planets around the sun within our solar system, that creates a draft, so to speak, for the Earth to be in so that it is stable as it goes around the sun in its orbit. And then the question comes, is there anything in Scripture that would speak to that? And I thought about Zechariah, the 12th chapter and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. And I thought about that term, lays the foundation of the earth. It's hung upon nothing, as we're going to be seeing, but yet there's a foundation that is there that is stable. And the reason we know it's stable is that we're not being flung out into the universe. We stay in an orbit around the sun. And evidently, as science has come to understand, that stability is not only there from the sun, but also by the interaction of the other planets that are in our solar system. When I look over in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, by him, that is Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or endure. And especially that second part, all things consist as they are, so that there is not chaos within our solar system, nor here upon this earth in the orbit that we have around the sun, exactly 96 million miles away from the sun, so that we get the proper warming and the proper cooling. Texas gets a little bit more of the proper warming than it wants. We understand that. But as a whole, life exists here upon this earth. It's because of that orbital stability that the earth is involved in. We see that word consist. That means to stand, denotes an intrinsic sense, to stand with or fall together, to be constituted, to be compact. And so we see then in that particular sense of that word, it is held together. It is compacted together so that life can exist here upon this earth and that there is orbital stability. But we also see this in Scripture. Loss of moon, stabilizing effect. Even the moon that is not a planet but is that body that is closest to us has an effect upon the earth. And science says the moon plays a crucial role in stabilizing Earth's axial tilt, which is responsible for seasons. Without the moon, Earth's axial tilt would fluctuate wildly because causing extreme and unpredictable climate changes. Now, I know it'd be okay with us in the summertime if we got a little bit more of a tilt to the north so that we would be more like those states to the north, be a little bit cooler. We wouldn't have all this humidity and heat and so forth. The fact of the matter, though, is that science recognizes that even that small body that we call the moon has an influence on the earth. And I asked myself, is there anything in Scripture that really relates to that? Well, we look over in the 104th Psalm in verse 19. He made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun to know its time for setting. So the moon is there and it helps to mark the season. We understand that even from science, and we recognize that just as we live here upon this earth. In the 31st chapter in verse 35 of Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, the ordinance of the moon and stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And whenever you think about that, we think about the tides that come in. And the shifting of the water upon the face of the earth has to do with the keeping of the axial tilt of the earth. So that it doesn't spin in one spot. You know, it would really come to a point of possibly burning up if it did that. But that axial tilt and spinning, and then it, of course, rotates in the different seasons and so forth that are influenced by the moon and also by the other planets, we have an understanding then that that was caused by God. And that those tidal waves are there and the tides come in, the tides go out, and that has to do with the balance of the earth in keeping that axial tilt. And then we see over in the 89th Psalm, verse 8 and 9, O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you? O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging sea. When its waves rise, you still them. And there, I believe, he's talking about, again, the tides that come in from the oceans, the large body of waters that are upon the earth, to set that balance upon the earth so that there is that proper axial tilt. I believe the scriptures speak to that. And then we look at increased asteroid impacts if the other planets were not in our solar system. And science says this: Jupiter and Saturn act as a gravitational shield, deflecting many asteroids and comets away from the inner solar system. With them gone, Earth would experience more frequent and potentially devastating impacts. You can go out to Arizona, you can see an impact of an asteroid that hit Earth at some point in time many years ago. And it is over a mile wide, and it is many hundreds of feet deep, and it is really, in essence, one of a kind. And you think about the other planets not there as protection, God-given protection, as we're going to be seeing in just a moment. How many more times this Earth would be impacted by asteroids that would come in from outer space, and how that would impact, of course, life here upon this Earth. Does the Scripture say anything about this? We look over in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, speaking, of course, of God, and really talking about his authority and the power even of creation. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. That is, God stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. You think about a curtain and what it does. It blocks out intense light wherever it's not needed. And then you think about a tent. It is there for protection. And I believe that we can relate this very thing that science has found about asteroid impacts in connection with the protection that God has given, an abode here upon this earth because of the other planets that are surrounding us that take those impacts and does not create chaos here upon this earth so that life does not continue. And I think we could understand that. And the same thing with the curtain, so that there is that which blocks out, which is, of course, detrimental to life here upon this earth. We consider Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, in verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth that comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Again, the heavens are stretched out. And they're stretched out in such a way so that there is that protection by the other planets for earth. And that by design. A glorious design by deity so that life can continue and not be, of course, taken away here upon this earth. In the 147th Psalm, it says, he decided how many stars there would be in the sky, and he gave each one a name. I mention this because names aren't given to things that are not important. God named the planets. And if they have names, well, then there is an importance in connection with that. I believe that we could relate right back to the importance of the planets that are out there that we see in the night sky and for our protection, as we come to find out from God's word and also from science. And so they're there for our protection. The same thing with the moon, by the way. You look, if you have seen a close-up of the moon, you see a lot of impacts, craters from asteroids that hit. Matter of fact, here about 2 months ago, a Japanese astronomer captured an impact of an asteroid on the moon, made a video of it. Very interesting to look. And you can look at all the impacts that the moon has taken over the thousands of years of its existence. And we recognize in that safety that is there, not of only Jupiter and the Pleiades and all the other planets that are out there, but also the moon itself, placed there by God for our protection. We also see, if there were no other planets, it would be a different sky that we would look up into. And science says this: we would miss the beautiful sights of other planets in the night sky, and the moon's presence would also be different, affecting tides and potentially making the formation of life as we know it impossible. There's a need then for those planets that are out there. What does the Bible have to say about this? Date Psalm verses 3 and 4 that Wayman read for us. When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you have set in their place, what are human beings that you think of them? Well, the answer to that is that he gives all life and breath in all things for our existence. And we look up into that night sky, especially, and we see the glory of the heavens, those planets that are out there, the stars and the moon and all things that were made by God. And it is doing something for us, as we see in the 19th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. When we look up in the sky, this is what it does, how clearly the sky reveals God's glory, how plainly it shows what he has done. It's not a snapshot in time, because the psalmist goes on and says, each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. That is, it is a constant. And you think about that as we look up into the sky. It is not only placed there for our protection, and not only placed there for our understanding that there is a creator, a maker of this existence, but also in this existence, even in the physical realm, because of the stars that have been placed in the universe by God himself, direction has been given physically. You know, I used to go coon hunting a whole lot whenever I was a young man. And we left out of McDade and we went south toward Camp Swift. And the dogs got to running a coon that I really thought it was something other than a coon. I really thought it was a bobcat because of the way it was running. Just, we kept going miles and miles and miles, and that animal never did tree. And so finally it did tree, and we looked up and it was a huge boar coon. And so when we got through the hunt, we really didn't know where we were. We had run so much, gone in different directions and so forth. And so there was a man that was present with us, one of the fathers of the young boys that I was in the group with. And he says, well, we're going to head on back. Well, we started heading on back, and I know that we passed the same tree four times, which was telling me we're going in a circle. And I said, sir, I see the Big Dipper. I said, I don't care where it's going to take me. I'm just going to go that direction. And so it took us back, or at least we found the road that was headed back in the right direction. And so there's even that aspect that the stars in the sky gives us direction. But they speak day in and day out and night after night to the presence of God. And the need for all of them and all those different aspects that we just got through mentioning. And they declare the glory of God. They declare really what God has done for us in making us a place where we could live here upon this earth, and especially to serve him. This universe, as God made it, is life-giving and sustaining. And we think about that when we look over in the 104th Psalm, verses 24 and 25. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. Nothing by accident, nothing that is not on purpose, nothing that doesn't serve a purpose in connection with our physical universe for the continuance of life here upon this earth. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. In the 33rd Psalm, verses 8 and 9, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. He is creator. He is majesty on high. The Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verse 19, he gives this warning. Do not gaze toward the heavens and observe the sun, the moon, the stars, the entire array of the sky, with the intent to worship and serve what the Lord your God gave every nation. You know, that has happened. Worshippers of the sun, worshippers of the stars, worshippers of things of this earth, the created things, rather than the creator himself. And so then in Matthew, the 4th chapter in verse 10, as Jesus is answering Satan, as he is being tested, he tells Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Not the things that are physical. But God made them all. He made them all for the sustaining of life here upon this earth. We see also in Acts 17, chapter verse 24 and 25, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all life, breath, and all things for the sustaining of life here upon this earth for the purpose of serving him. And then that second part, that was a statement, but I believe was actually a question. Oxygen elsewhere in the universe. And science is asking, are we alone? And science, and I'm using science not as a community of people here upon this earth that are following after their religion of science and not true science, continually ask that question, are we alone? And they are so sure that we are not. They're so sure that the earth is so young that there are others that are out there in the universe that are so far advanced from us that we just don't understand. We're like infants in their sight. In a sense, they're right, because we are not alone. We're not alone. But let's talk about life. Let's talk about other beings other than God. Let's talk about life in this universe. First of all, from science, for the first time ever, astronomers have identified molecular oxygen in a galaxy outside the Milky Way. The discovery was made by a team of astronomers in Shanghai, led by Mr. Wang. The team identified the presence of molecular oxygen by analyzing light waves that had reached the Earth from Macarion 231, a galaxy about 581 million light years away. I'm not going to speak to the accuracy of that. It's neither here nor there. Let's say that that is truth. They go on and say that Macarion 231 is a galaxy 581 million light years away from the Earth and is believed to have 100 times as much oxygen as has so far been detected in the Milky Way. Sounds good, doesn't it? Based on the readings, the team estimates that there could be more than 100 times as much oxygen on Macarion 231 galaxy has been so far observed in the Milky Way. Over the past 20 years, molecular oxygen has been detected on two other locations in the Milky Way, Rho Apatucho and Orion Nebula. Humans can breathe pure oxygen for short periods. It's used as a common treatment for health conditions, including people afflicted with bends. That's whenever divers go down into the depths, and then you have, of course, nitrogen that is created within the bloodstream, and they have to be going through a process to be reacclimated into our atmosphere. But our respiratory systems depend on the elements in the air, like nitrogen and carbon dioxide, to function normally. Breathing pure oxygen for prolonged periods can cause permanent lung damage and oxygen toxicity. And all that is from this website that I have here at the bottom. I want to remind you that in one of our spacecrafts that were intended to go off from this Earth into space, it was either 4 or 6, I can't remember, astronauts that lost their lives because they were burned up in a fire before the launch. And come to find out that the fire was caused because of the use of 100% oxygen within the cockpit of that spacecraft. And there was a spark. And oxygen is extremely flammable. Pure oxygen is dangerous. I've gone through a lot of training. I know that Wayman has too, in connection with oxygen and how it is affected by petroleum products. And spontaneous combustion can take place. And a violent explosion take place. It sounds good, 100% oxygen. Deadly, so deadly. Think about this. The fact is that the Earth has a perfect atmosphere for all living things. 78.1% nitrogen, 20.9% oxygen, 0.93% argon, 0.404% carbon dioxide. All of that is present here upon this earth for life to exist, animal, plant, human. And it's made exactly that way in the exact amounts so that life can exist. And there's a biblical proclamation in connection with this when we look over in Isaiah 42 and verse 5, who created the heavens, stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, speaking of God, who gives breath to the people on it. And in him, as we see in John, the first chapter, verse 3 and 4, especially verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and especially in connection with that physical life, what God has created. You look at this and ask the question, was man intended to live outside? Are beings intended to live outside the earth? Did God not only send Christ to the earth, did he send them to other planets also? And I think that we have an answer from Scripture in connection with that. Is there life on other planets elsewhere in the universe? Note the oneness principle in Scripture. There's one God. We understand that from Ephesians 4, chapter and verse 4. And not only one God, there's also one Spirit. And that being of the Godhood. There's one Lord, as we see in verse 5 of Ephesians 4. One Lord, along with one faith and one baptism. One God and Father of all, verse 6, who is above all, through all, and in all. We see the oneness aspect in connection with that. Tie that in with the one death that took place. We see over in Romans 6, chapter verse 10, for the death that he died, speaking of Christ, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. If you look at that, Christ Jesus didn't die many times, but once. And who was it that he died for? Well, he died for those that would have the one hope, Ephesians 4 and verse 4, the one gathering that would come unto him. Ephesians, the first chapter and verse 10, that in dispensation in the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. It's not in the heavens, but here he's speaking about those that are in covenant relationship with him that's passed from this life. We see humans on earth as God's one focus. And we understand that from Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 12. Paul says, for to me who am least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden God, created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. It is to make all see, but who are the all? Who is it? Is it just here on earth, or is it in other places also? Think about this, especially our eternal existence. When we think about this, it really answers the question. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the choice, the privilege to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God manifest in the flesh, where? Here upon this earth. Some would say, well, it doesn't say that he didn't manifest himself on other planets, and so the silence of Scripture would indicate that that is not the case. But what is revealed is the case. We see in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 24 through 27, that God made all things for our existence, but especially for that eternal existence that we can hope for. So those that hear the sayings of God from his word is like the wise one who built his house upon the rock, and the rock there is Christ. And when the winds came and the winds blew and the floods came and beat on the house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, the Christ. Of course, he gives the opposite to those that trust in something other than Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says this, today if you will hear his voice, and this is about the existence that has been given to us so that we can live a life to glorify him, we hear his voice. And not only hear his voice, we also have faith in what he says, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. And that we not only hear what he says, but we put it into action by obedience. And we render obedience to him through whatever it is that he says, because it's about our eternal existence. And when we do so, we become then part of the creative work of God. We see this when we look over in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. We think about this, and it is to people on earth that the promise of Christ was given, that the oneness of God is revealed, and the oneness of the focus in connection with those that are here upon this earth can have in a hope of a life that is to come. And so I answer these questions, and I think that we have evidence from Scripture. Are the other planets needed? Absolutely. Who says so? God. Who put them in place? God did. What's the evidence of it? We're still here. We're still here. And we see how things happen in this universe. We see the asteroids, and I'll tell you, I log on to my computer and I go to the news for the day, and it's almost monthly, if not even more often. An asteroid has been detected that could wipe out all humanity. So be that it misses us time and time again. Why is that? Because of the protection that God has put in place. Is there life on other planets? There's life outside of this universe. And his name is God. And because of that, we render obedience unto him. The answers are in Scripture. We look at them, we make application to them. Science is secondary. Scripture is primary. And so, no, God's focus is upon human beings on this earth. And it is with that thought that we look not just to this existence, but to the one that is to come. Are you living that way? Are you living to what is going to take place after this life here on this earth is over? If you're not a child of God, become one of the Maker's creation. And be obedient to him. And in that obedience, looking unto him and looking up. And if you are a child of God, are you acting as a new creation in Christ? Or are you looking just like everybody else? Those that do not have him. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.